Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Thank you for your generous support. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or through our Facebook page. And now we'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight, someone we've had on who talked about their new venture there at the Dune Summer Theater, and they now have auditions for the 2021 season. He's the artistic director, Tito Sanchez-Williams, and he's going to tell us about some of the plans they have coming up, and believe it or not, they're planning for 2021. Tito, welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight.
So exciting.
Hi, thank you for having me back. Thank you so much.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you have planned. You're stepping out on a little bit of faith here of having auditions. And I should say, for those that understand this, there'll be non-equity auditions. And you can explain that and where you're at and what you got on the rehearsal. So go ahead, tell us about it.
Two very different romps.
Yes. So, we're hoping that everything goes fine. We can actually have the shows. The shows will be outdoor, regardless of what happens, since COVID-19 is so unpredictable. We are holding auditions for two shows. The first one is Forever Platt. Okay. This is a musical. So we're looking for specifically four male actors. That's what requires a show. That's the whole cast. We require actors to submit a video, a self-tape of two contrasting musical numbers, no more than 2 minutes in total length. So that is for Forever Platt. And the show, the rehearsals will be from May 17 to June 2nd. And then the other show we're very excited about is the first time we've done this in the past 10 years as an association, at least, is our first Shakespeare show. We're doing a Midsummer Night's Dream. And for this, it is a bigger cast. The actors will be double cast. We're telling the actors to also submit a self-tape video of two contrasting comic monologues, at least one from a Shakespeare play, of no more than 3 minutes in total length. They can do this in the website, which is dunesarts.org, or they can see our submission in backstage.com. We also have a submission for both shows for actors to be able to do self-tape and contact us.
Explain what double casting is. I know what it is, but our audience may not understand.
Of course. So that means that for the example of Midsummer for Shakespeare, what that means is that there are 19 characters in the play. but because we're trying to cut back in pay and to actually have a smaller cast, we're trying to make the cast 10 actors rather than 19 actors. So some actors are going to be doing two roles instead of one. If they're familiar with the show, some actors might be doing one of the fairies, and then there might also be one of the mechanicals. There might be Nick Button. Well, not Nick Button, because he's a big mechanical, but other mechanicals.
So can I also clarify, let's clarify something else possibly, where you said with Forever Plaid, there's four male, but it's also male identified as well? Is that?
Yes, we're very open to that, male identified. The big, huge thing that we want to do with the casting is to be very inclusive. So in both casting, we're asking to be ethnically ambiguous. It can be any race. It can be any background. We just really want talented, good actors, regardless of how you identify or regardless of your background. We're looking for that. And we're very, very open to that, too.
You know, okay. You had a little bit of issues with vandalism last year. And, of course, you pretty much missed the season last year. How's that coming? Yeah. Have you done restorations to that?
Yes. No, we have. We got donations, which we're very, very happy from our community. And we were able to repair the windows. We took the painting that they did in the wall. So it's so much better now. And we're still updating the grounds because they do need some work.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. So you're looking for people to audition. And again, non-equity means that equity is the actors union. But where can they find out some of the information, first of all, and tell us where you're located and things like that?
And also, so the auditions are via Zoom, right? So
yeah, so the auditions, what we want is a self-tape, which they can submit it through a Zoom video, YouTube, whatever they feel comfortable, whatever medium, as long as we can see you do what we asked. You know, two contrasting monologues, two contrasting songs that are at least 2 minutes in length for the musicals and at least 3 minutes for the Shakespeare. We do offer pay. We are paying the actors, but we can do equity pay, which is way more expensive and way more complicated. So they would be hired as an independent contractors, and they do get a pay.
Okay. And are you using an equity guest artist contract or a category two?
I think we're using category two.
Okay. Yeah. That's some things to make things for theaters like you to be able to have an equity actor, mm-hmm. and everything like that. So your planned season is going to be running on what dates?
So the dates will be the first performance, which will be for Forever Plaid. It will be from June 3rd to June 20th. That's the amount. Those are the shows. We're going to have weekend shows, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then for Midsummer, the dates will be for the performances July 1st to July 18th. For July 18th. Those are the performances.
Okay, and they can tell us your location and website and all that information real quick.
The location is, we're in Michigan City in Indiana. They can find all the information of the location and about the foundation in doomsarts.org. That is where everything you'll need to know. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air Spotlight. That's Tito Sanchez-Williams, the artistic director for Dune Summer Theater. Break a leg this coming summer.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Elizabeth Adler. She's the executive director and teaching artist for Dance Theater in Chicago. And it's part of a genre of theater, which she'll talk about. It's called Tanz Theater, weaving theater, dance, film, spoken word, and music all into one. And that's located in Chicago. And so we'd like to welcome Elizabeth to the show.
Aloha. Hi. Thank you for having me here.
Well, we're so glad to have you on. Elizabeth, we want to hear a little bit for our audience, your background. So tell us about how you got from where you were to where you are now, where you grew up, all that type of stuff about you.
Sure. So it's kind of an interesting story, at least I think it is, because I started in the world of ballet. And I will totally admit that ballet is my first love and it is my last love. Even though I have a daughter now, I still love ballet. It's just a different kind of love. I got my start when I guess before I even took classes, I remember putting on performances, installation style, in a tree for my grandmother during the summer months. And one night I was outside playing and she called me in because on TV, on PBS, there was a dance film. And she was like, you should do this. This should be what you do for, you know, your life. I could see you doing this. And it was shortly after that that I found a class at the Park District, started taking it. Within a year, the dance teacher told my mom, you need to send her somewhere else because I can't teach her anymore. And that is when I found William Riley Academy of Ballet in Milwaukee on 27th Street. And William Riley was Jerome Robbins' ballet master. And there is where I learned about perseverance. It's where I learned about artistry. And Mr. Riley used to say to us all, do you know the difference between an athlete and a dancer? And of course, we would all say, no, Mr. Riley, dancers make it look easy. Where is your art? And I think about that all the time. And he used to always say to us too, that class and rehearsal is where the work happens, so the performance just happens. And that is things that I take on with my students and the artists I work with, is that mentality. And I studied ballet. I love ballet, like I said. And then when I was in college, I was involved in a dating violence relationship. And after going through that for almost 2 years, it changed me. And as much as I love the Nutcracker and dancing ballet, that style of art wasn't drawing to me anymore. And in grad school, I started learning about the German Expressionist movement with Tanztheater and Rudolf von Laban, who coined the phrase, which is bringing all art medium together to create radical change. And as a survivor of domestic abuse, I needed to use my art in order to help explain what had happened. Now, I've never really created a show that was about me, because that's a personal thing, but I started to view the world differently. And I've always viewed the world differently, because my father, whose anniversary of his death is today, 12 years ago, he was in a wheelchair from having MS. And he was diagnosed 3 years before I was born. And I grew up seeing my parents fight for the ADA laws, which have only been around 20, 25 years, not that long enough, and the Disabled Veterans Acts. And all of that created the activist in me. And so when I was in grad school, I started learning about these different artists, Pina Bausch, who's been a hero.
Magnificent. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I realized that that is the style of work I wanted to do. So my origins is ballet. It's my first and last love for art anyways. But now it's evolved into something more. And I wanted to create a company here in Chicago where artists of all different backgrounds could come together to create art, because there wasn't that here in Chicago at that time. And that is why I created Chicago Dance Theater Ensemble. And sometimes, you know, we might do a play, and then other times it might be more of a dance piece, or some other times it might be film. And each program should have its own entity. And so that's the performance side. But then I also wanted to give back, right? Because like I said, I got my start at the Chicago Park District. And there are many, not the Chicago Park District, the Milwaukee Park District. And there's many times in which art is what saved me. And that is what I wanted to bring to the kids, because there is this elitism within art. So that is why we go to schools. We go to the Chicago Park District. We partner with social service groups. And we teach dance, and we teach theater and visual arts. And it is a mini offshoot of what Tanztheater is, you know? And we hope to create a radical change in humankind by teaching art to the kids. And then in the performances, when people come to see our work, we really want them to have a discussion about what it is that they saw on stage. Because as Rudolf von Laban said, that is how radical change can happen, is by creating community. So that's a little bit about my...
So, Elizabeth, like when you wanted to start the dance theater, who was the first person you contacted? Like, you have this idea, you want to do it. So what's your first step to make it happen?
I chuckle about that because I don't know if I ever was like, okay, this is step one and write this down on a piece of paper. I think I just followed my intuition. I mean, I remember being a little kid and thinking I never want to be a shoulda, woulda, coulda, and that I should just go and try this. And if failure is part of success, right? So getting out of college, I graduated in from grad school in 2000. And I wanted to start working and, you know, I was doing all the call papers and no one was creating in this style except for a group called Goat Island. And Goat Island Performance Company was mostly working in Europe and they were a group of four people and they weren't holding auditions, right? And so a dance studio I worked at, Belle Plaine Studios, the owner said, hey, if you want to do something here, why not? And so the first work I did was an adaptation of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, which in graduate school for a project was, I worked on the very first section of the poem because it's in five parts. And I've always been in love with that poem because to me, it's written like a piece of Shakespeare, you know? And so I decided to try that. And all I did was hold auditions and four really great people came in and they were excited about the work. And I didn't really know exactly what I was doing, but with these artists, we created a laboratory of experiment and created an adaptation of this work. And then after it was completed, I went to Europe and for 4 months traveled around and I did workshops. And I really thought about staying in Europe because that's where this work comes from. But then there's also something in me that said, no, go back to Chicago. And I hate to say this, if you build it, they will come. Build a dream quote, you know? And that's what I did. And, you know, the company did its first show in April of 2001. And then officially was incorporated in February of 2002. And 2002 in the summer is also when we started our first arts ed program as well.
Can you tell us exactly what is Tanz Theater for our audience? I think I know its origins came out of mid-20th century Germany and Austria. So, but tell us a little bit. I mean, you kind of have, but give us a little tough, better definition.
Yeah. Excuse me. So, as I said, the origins comes from the German Expressionist movement, right? Which the German Expressionist movement came out of World War One and out of World War II. There's Grotowski and creating this response to what happened, right, with the wars. And Rudolf von Laban, who he's most famous for dance notation. So how do we... how do we put into text, right? Movement is what he created, but then the whole study of the body. So for instance, how people move and their physical stances. Like I always love this, that people stand and move either like a pin, a ball, a wall, a screw or a spiral, and a pyramid, right? And that's kind of like the physical analysis. So if you see, for instance, a drill sergeant, you could look at him and say, oh, he's standing like a pyramid or a wall. Someone who's very loosey-goosey would be move like a spiral, right? Someone who's a little anal retentant might be a pin, someone who's very, you know, closed. And so Rudolf von Laban started examining all of this work. And then he started thinking about how artists are combining text and physical theater and dance. And he wanted to bring this all together because he really truly believed that art can change the world. And that is what I believe. I believe that art is discourse, art is education, art is so much more than just entertainment.
Well, and you've seen it happen in your work, right, too. You've seen the changes. I mean, especially working with the children. I mean, not to mm-hmm. count the adults, but the children are right there, and it does change It does change lives.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting because with Chicago Dance Theater, we have these two elements. And I don't want to say like two different, you know, but with the Arts Ed, we get to see it firsthand, right? How art changes these kids. And we say that we teach from a social justice point of view. And it's not always about bringing in a worksheet or a book about, you know, Rosa Parks. Sometimes it is about making sure that you have a man of color teaching the class, for instance, right? Or giving the kids a way to have their voice. And also for some kids, it's about just letting them be a kid and creating a safe space. And the way I've seen it, the way I've seen change happen with the performance side is I have seen artists that we work with share, for instance, something that they relate to the text of that we're working with or the subject matter, right? And seeing younger artists grow. But then I also really see it in the discourse that happens and the discussions that happen with the audience members. For instance, one of the pieces that I created called Unraveling Bill, which is based on the story of my friend's brother who committed suicide when he came back from Iraq. And after a performance, an older gentleman pulled me aside and he said, "Thank you." You know, I said, "You're welcome." And I just listened to him talk. And he said that the words that I said on stage and the emotions that the dancers did described how he was feeling. And he didn't have the words to say that until he saw the show. And at our space in Andersonville in Chicago, we work out of the Ebenezer Lutheran Church and this beautiful auditorium that we have renovated. And the space is big enough that we also have an art gallery display that goes along with every performance. And that's always wonderful because the audience members can walk around and look at that before the show, sit down, watch the show, and then come back and look at the art again. And then as the performers and, you know, directors or choreographers, myself, we can walk around and have this discussion, which helps to build community.
My favorite performances is when there is that audience participation afterwards, because mm-hmm. it's a full, rich experience then. And it's on both ends, both for right. the actor performers as well as the audience.
Would you say Tanz Theater is... it's not really story-based like you would take a traditional theater project. It kind of like relates in, well, in the musical theater example, the concept musical. Mm-hmm. It's very kind of unstructured and everything like that. I mean, there's a structure to it, but it's not like a story structure where, you know, this person meets this person or something like that. It's very impressionistic.
Right. I mean, yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. Like I said, there's always changes, but yes, because there is a storyline, but it's not necessarily always linear, right?
Right.
Because sometimes the story is told through movement with just a few words or vice versa, you know, it's not necessarily character A meets character B. And then we see that whole through line. A lot of times it's much more visceral. I think a lot of people always say it's very emotional. But there is definitely always a meaning that comes across. And one of the things that I in my own art is that I'm not here to give answers to questions as much as I am to offer up questions, right? So many people can have multiple different observations, opinions, and it's valid. I mean, it's always interesting to me when people want to do an analysis of, you know, written work, especially of poetry or stories that were written long ago. And I always wonder, you know, is this what this person really was thinking? You know, did Van Gogh really have this, thought process of this, or was he just painting these beautiful sunflowers because they made him happy, you know? And so I try to create art that creates thinking.
So, and being coming from a theater background myself, and of course I used more traditional musical. How do you approach structuring a show or creating a piece? I mean, you're not working from a script, a libretto, things like that.
Well, actually, sometimes we do create from a script. I like working and adapting scripts or pieces of literature. The Wasteland was one of them. A piece that will be, when we can return safely to the stage, that we'll be bringing back is Charlotte Perkins Gilman's The Yellow Wallpaper. With other works that we've created and devised from the ground up, it starts with an idea. And then I guess a way to think about it is as much how a novelist would write a story, right? You just start creating mini scenarios and then somehow it all weaves itself together. And there's, you know, much like an editor, there's a lot of stuff that's left on the ground that's never brought into the performance, right? And so it takes time. It takes over a year to develop a new piece of work. And, you know, an idea, for instance, I have in my head that hopefully in 3 years will come to the stage is a new telling of Alice in Wonderland. But Alice is not a young little girl. No, she's a 40-year-old something woman. And, you know, the Queen of Hearts is a woman who's gone through menopause and she's just had enough, you know, and that's why she's using her voice and everybody thinks she's angry. And she's like, no, I've had enough, you know, and I'm going to use my voice. So this is an idea I've had for over a year and I keep thinking about it and I keep thinking about, well, what, you know, who could the white rabbit represent? To me, the white rabbit's the fertility doctor, you know?
I was just going to say, this scenario reminds me of the changes we go through as women when we've given birth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, it's so powerful that we are changed.
Right.
And so what you, and that's just it. You know, you go, I can do anything.
Right.
Anything.
I mean, you know, talking about the yellow wallpaper, when I first did that piece, I was, you know, a young woman in my 20s. And I thought about it as a feminist piece of literature, right? Which a lot of people do. And also as a horror story, because she was a contemporary of Edgar Allan Poe. And then I remounted it in my 30s and I was stuck in a bad relationship. So that meant a whole nother thing. But now, you know, I thought about remounting it as, you know, part of our anniversary season. And here it is, you know, I'm now as a mother and understanding what postpartum is. I was very thankful. I have an awesome baby who likes to sleep. But we're all the woman in the yellow wallpaper right now. We're all trapped in our houses and this isolation. And if there was any other piece I've ever created in my lifetime that would be best to bring back, it's The Yellow Wallpaper. And, you know, God willing, everything goes well. Hopefully the end of October, beginning of November of 2021, we'll be able to bring that piece back to the stage. And then we can all feel the feeling of being the woman in the yellow wallpaper.
So how has your awareness of movement changed since having your beautiful, beautiful daughter?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good question because I don't know that answer yet. Because when I was starting to finally feel ready to go back to class, the world shut down. And then I started taking dance class this summer and I had a good 2.5 months of taking ballet, but then everything's changed again. And I know I can feel little things of just my abs are not there. They're there somewhere, right? It's just going to take a little bit of finding them again. So my strength has changed, but I think that there's also a grounding to me. I mean, just also being an older parent in, you know, my 40s and having a baby for the first time is different than if I would have been in my 20s or 30s. And I'm really glad I did it now because I'm calmer. And that's, you know, a big thing that I've just even noticed with my movement and my artistry is I'm more centered. And so I am excited to get back to rehearsal and to the stage and even just a teaching dance and theater in person with our kids because, yeah.
Are you taking any online dance classes? Because I've been doing like the workouts with the English National Ballet and stuff.
So yeah, you know what? I have a little bit. It's just hard in the house, you know? Yeah.
My question is, and you're touching on this a little bit, but briefly tell us a little bit how COVID has affected you personally. I mean, you know, here you're having a baby, now you're locked up, but also otherwise. Oh,
man. Yeah, that's a really good question. So I went through a really bad depression, and not depression because of the baby. I was more with the baby. I was so sad that so many people who were excited to, you know, want to be with her couldn't. Right. And that's why I started her own Instagram page. But me as an artist, I felt lost because it's the first time in my life since I was 15 that I didn't know what to do. You know, this has been the longest stretch of not being in a studio, and it's been really hard. And I've had to come to, you know, this acceptance moment, back to that beautiful poem, you know, accepting, and trying to find serenity and just saying it's okay if I'm not creating something right now, and trying to observe the world, because so much of how I create is by observing the world. And I know that everything that's happening in our life right now, I will take it and it will turn into art.
Okay. We want to give you a chance to tell about how people could get in touch with you, with your organization, and maybe they're interested in being part of it and maybe come to see your performances, so like websites and things like that.
Yeah, that would be great, because we are rebuilding our board. So we're looking for a new board of directors and volunteers and anybody who would like to help us build our 20th anniversary or come see a show. You can find us on the web at dancetheatre.org. That's DANZTHEATRE.org. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as well. And you can always find me, Elizabeth Adler. That's Elizabeth with two L's and a Y. And yeah, we'll be back on the stage soon.
Well, we're so excited to have you on Art in the Air. That's Elizabeth Adler, Executive Director and Teaching Artist for DanceTheatre.org is where it is. And you can find out more about that. And we will have a link on our website to you when they have your picture. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air in this segment a guitarist, singer-songwriter who likes feeling his music. His message is, it's been compared to like a sundae in a plastic dish from ice cream down the street and everything. He's a young man from Gary who's actually been on Tom Lounge's segment. So we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air to talk about himself and music, Kerry James Jr., also known as KJ. KJ, welcome to Art on the Air.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we'd like you to tell our audience a little bit about yourself, like where you grew up, where you went to school, and everything, before we get into your music and how that developed.
Okay, well, first and foremost, you know, I want to. I'm KJ. I was born in Chicago. I grew up in Gary, Indiana. We went to Lawless STEM Academy, and I'm also an aspiring singer songwriter from Gary, Indiana, hometown of MJ. Of Michael Jackson, and I'm here still continuing to leave on my own personal legacy as far as the music and, you know, singing and probably acting world. So yeah,
very good. Has there been any musical influences in your life as you were growing up and everything, and like how did you learn to play guitar and other music like that?
The musical influences I grew up as you hear is my musical inspirations with Still P today is Justin Timberlake, Chris Brown, and Michael Jackson. And to be honest, I also have a authentic autographic signature of Prince Jackson, which was his son 4 years ago when I was just starting out. So that's like authentic original signature of him, of Prince Jackson. So yeah, I love it. That's like my ultimate memory that I still cherish forever.
Right. I bet that's it's very inspiring. And so you're also an activist as well. Can you tell us about that? You support a lot of organizations. So who do you work with?
The organization that I'm along with is called the Alamis Project. It's about young people that's dealt with like condition stars of HIV and AIDS, and you know, and with that we are there to support and help and guide people that's on a journey to, you know, find happiness and come clear with everybody and just build like friendship relationships, and you know, and it's good for me to work with the community that I have, because I'm also a person that's dealt with this condition as well, and also along with that, you know, it helps people to find themselves and grow and just, you know, still continue on life.
It's important to have community. Can you tell us about the experience of being part of Soul Train Impact Showcase? What was that like?
Oh, that year, man, that was amazing. I was just starting off, you know, still being as a new upcoming aspiring artist. And I was also in the nomination running for a Chicago Music Award, you know, up against a very, very talented, top-notch artist, Chance the Rapper. And so, you know, it was great, though.
What was it? It was great, but can you tell us what did you do? I mean, what
I sung, and what I did was I was able to participate and, you know, sing my songs, like, you know, acoustically guitar. And, you know, I was able to still, you know, continue on my journey as far as being a part in like the public media, as far as articles, newspapers, press and everything else, and just helping, you know, along my community to help inspire other people to continue on doing what they're doing.
What songs did you choose to present?
My Mother and I song, you know, which you guys will be playing at the end.
Yeah, we'll be listening to that later. Hey, I just realized that you are one of three triplets. So tell us a little bit about your siblings.
yes, I'm a set of a triplet. You know, my twin brother, he passed away during birth complications. But I do have a twin sister that I normally connect and I talk to sometimes, and then I have a younger sister, and then I have a older brother who recently passed away about like a year ago, you know, due to gambling. So yeah.
Well, we'd like to start listening to some of your music. Tell us briefly how you got into music, then let's listen to one of your songs. I think we're going to listen to "I'm Drowning," but tell us first a little bit about how you developed music and how that came into your life, and then tell us a little about "I'm Drowning" as the first song we'll listen to.
Well, the music was always been influencing me. You know, before the music, I wanted to design my own shoes, which they're still will be a part of my life too. But you know, the music came on, you know, with the concept of me being part of the hometown of Michael Jackson. So yeah, "I'm Drowning" was a story about, you know, about a sibling of mine, you know, just getting tired of you know, all the BS, and you know, just when I was just drowning in my own sorrows, and you know, so yeah.
So did you write before that? I mean, because it's
Before.
Well, let's tell us a little about "I'm Drowning," and we'll go ahead and take a listen to that.
Okay. The song "I'm Drowning," it's a song about, you know, a sibling of mine, and it's not a relationship song, but it's a song about, you know, you being in constant, you know, a disbelief about you yourself. You continuing to, you know, like be drained of, you know, of work, of, you know, of anybody's of their problems, you know. So that's the song that, you know, I want to portray.
Very good. Well, let's go ahead, and we're going to take a listen into "I'm Drowning" by KJ.
I'm drowning, drowning, I'm drowning.
because I'm drowning by KJ on our guest on Art in the Air. So very good. About that was interesting. So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing, where you've been on. I know you've been on Tom Lounge's Midwest Beat and other places you've performed.
Well, other places I performed at, I've done like contemporary local media performances. I actually performed in my hometown before at a nightclub, but it was something very it was different because I was able to bring a friend along with me. His name is Freddie Flo. He plays the viola or that he calls it, and he was able to bring some kind of spice and more soul into like the music that I'm doing now. And and between periodically around that, I've done just local contemporary events, just to still keep my name in the press and be able to.
Okay, KJ, what inspired you to go on the steps of City Hall, which kind of launched your acoustic career in music, sort of, right? So what was that moment? What made you say, this is where I'm going to do it?
That was actually a good question. That was actually came and thought because I just decided on, okay, let's see where if Justin Bieber, which I truly, admire and I do adore him as an artist as well. He was able to perform at the Avon Theater in his hometown and be able to get noticed. Then why can I do probably similar, the same thing probably? So I just say, I can go on the steps of City Hall and play my guitar and get the attentions of anybody and anybody else that can enjoy the music. And it was very good and different because I'm one of the first artists that ever sung for our city of mayor before she got, I think it was a few years back in my hometown of Gary. I was one of the first artists to sing in front of her because I wanted to showcase my talent towards the city and her as well. So that was a good memory that I always cherish forever.
Yeah, that was a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. So I love that you said, and I deeply feel what you said about listen to my music as that is my story. So in school, high school, did you use writing? Did you write stories? Did you write poetry in school? Because I really believe songs are poetry and stories. So
actually, that came after high school, because in high school, I really didn't know what I was going to do. So I actually did drama before the music. So, if people that doesn't know that before the music, I love to do drama and acting. So I still would like to pursue an acting, which I have a documentary, which I'm appearing. It's like a contemporary, one of those narration documentary films about, the old inventor named Octave Chanute, who actually invented the pillar planes and railroad trains back in the late 1800s and so on. And, he was the first inventor to build the railroad trains and planes and stuff like this. I'm a part of that contemporary documentary. So that's also good. And then probably after I did the music, so probably four after I got out of high school.
So we'd like to hear another one of your songs, Took Me Away. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll go ahead and take a listen to it with KJ here. Go ahead.
That song, Took Me Away, is one of my best good songs. That's just a song that I was just thinking outside the box out my head. That's actually a relationship song, even though I haven't been in a relationship, but that's just one of those relationship feeling goal songs that you could explain to your loved one, your significant, your partner, just to let them know that you express their love and feelings towards that person. So yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to it. We'll be listening to Took Me Away, Kerry James Jr., otherwise known as KJ, here on Art on the Air.
Baby, that day, took me away.
that was KJ, Kerry James Jr., and his song Took Me Away. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Kerry, tell us a little bit about your what you consider your style of your music.
My considered style would actually be folk. And I say, yeah, folk, new age, you know, because this kind of, it's not country, but it's more like folk. And that's a good thing. And that's kind of like a, you know, I just say like a diverse thing far as an artist of me, of my color, you know, because, you know, most people consider me as a resemble male version of Tracy Chapman, you know, and that's a good thing. That's to keep in thought. But I like to have my own contemporary voice and unique style and genre. So that's just like my song and genre is based off of folk and probably new age, really.
So, Kerry, who's producing the music with you?
Producing... varieties of producers that I could try to get connected with, and you know, still today I'm still in the works of preparing and making sure all my songs is at its best. So you know, I'm just I am figuring out along the way as I go, you know, to see which producer will bring that spice and, you know, that flavor towards, you know, like the backlash of my song, you know, just.
You know, Kerry, you have a song, Mother and I, which I think is a very personal one. Tell us a little bit about that, and we'll take a listen to that on Art of the Air here.
That song is very, it's dear to me, you know, because that song is actually a tribute song to my mother. Of all the things that she did, she self-sacrificed me on raising me and my other siblings without a father. So that right there, other people can relate to, because I know a few other of my good friends I know who doesn't have a mother, such as my own mother, who doesn't have a mom anymore, but she still lives on the memories of her and other people that can't relate to it. It's about a song to know that, including the single dads out there that's actually portraying the mother part role to their kids. So that's actually goes either way, but that's mainly for more about the mothers that's out there and doing what they supposed to do and, you know, being a superwoman, you know, to raising their kids. So that song is dear to me more because that's a song that actually I've been through a lot.
Well, let's take a listen to Mother and I, Kerry James Jr., otherwise known as KJ.
Mother. Thank you.
Our guest KJ with Mother and I. Great song there. Very meaningful.
Very moving. So KJ, what are you working on now? Do you have a project that you're working toward?
Yes, I'm working on towards my EP as long as doing hopefully some acting as well, like a web series that I've contacted some people throughout the Chicagoland, and they're in the work of helping me be a part of a web series and so on. As soon as this pandemic thing hopefully be over with sooner or later. But you know, at the moment, I'm just enjoying my family's spending time for days and the new years to come. So yeah, I'm doing an EP.
Well, Carrie, we really appreciate you coming on our air. That's Carrie James Jr., KJ, musician based in Gary. Tell us a little bit quickly about where they can find you on the web.
They can find me on Instagram, The Real KJ23. Facebook is Carrie James Jr., as long as my fan page is Carrie James, and Twitter, The Real KJ1993. So that's it.
Thank you so much for being on our air, Carrie James Jr., KJ.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.